Go ahead and take your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Normally we don't get three speakers on a Sunday morning, but for Sunday school, but we had a special blessing today. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll read just a couple verses just as we get into this passage. Have you ever read a book or watched a show or something like that? And there's typically some main characters that the story follows. And you're supposed to really be wrapped up in these couple main characters, but there's also supporting characters, supporting cast. Have you ever read a book or something like that, and you're more focused and more interested on the supporting character, the side people, and you find yourself almost cheering them on, hoping they'll succeed and wanting them to do better than the main characters? Sometimes the side character is the person that catches our interest more, and we're more impressed with them. This morning, I'm going to look at one of my favorite Bible characters, and in my opinion, I think this is one of the biggest heroes in the Bible that we would say is a supporting character. They're not the main character, they're not the main person that we think of when we read these passages, but I think they're one of the biggest heroes in the Bible that you might put into that category as a supporting character. When we read 1 and 2 Samuel, King Saul kind of takes the spotlight. He's the main character. He's the main person that we follow at first. And as Saul sins and gets more focused on himself, that kind of mantle transitions to David. And David is the main character that we follow. But kind of one of the supporting characters that we see throughout here, in a couple chapters he comes up, is Jonathan. Saul's son Jonathan. And we don't read a lot about him. But he's definitely one of these important characters that is in more of a supporting role. But he's quite a person. He's a prince. As we don't read that much about him and we're so focused on David, a lot of times we forget Jonathan was the prince. He was in line to become the king. He was a warrior. He was a war hero. He was renowned for his use of the bow. If you read the couple passages, he uses the bow. He used the bow to send a message to David, and we know he fought with it. And so much the point that when he died, David recognized the importance of the bow because of Jonathan. And in the beginning of 2 Samuel, David commands Israel to learn the use of the bow, directly influenced because of Jonathan. Jonathan was a warrior. He was a hero. There were so many more things about Jonathan. But if I were to list the top three characteristics about Jonathan, if I had three words that I had to describe Jonathan as, I would probably say number one would be loyalty. He was so loyal to Saul, even though Saul gave him so many reasons not to be loyal. Jonathan was loyal, and he served his country, and he served how he should. The second thing I would think of is bravery. Boy, he was a brave man. Multiple occasions, he put his life on the line. He fought sometimes at huge odds, and he fought, and even he ended up dying on the battlefield. He was a brave man, and he didn't care what happened to him. He fought. But as we think about those, the biggest characteristic, the word that I want to focus on today, that I think if you had one word to describe Jonathan, I think the only word you could really use is the word humility. Humility. Out of all the adjectives we could use, I don't know that you could find a better description than to say Jonathan was a humble man. Humility is defined as freedom from pride and arrogance, a modest estimation of one's worth, acts of submission. I just listed off some of the things that Jonathan did. We know he was a hero. We know he was a prince. We know all these things. Yet we never see Jonathan lifting himself up. On the contrary, we see Jonathan lifting other people up. Even when Jonathan himself probably had the right, humanly speaking, to lift himself up, he instead was lifting other people up. Jonathan, I've entitled today's lesson, Jonathan, an example of humility. I want to look at four areas this morning briefly that I believe Jonathan was an example in the area of humility. Point number one, he showed humility in the face of success. Humility in the face of success. You're there in 1 Samuel 13. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 13, verse number 1, Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin.
And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Jonathan here won his first victory. His father was barely the king for the year, and Jonathan destroyed a garrison of the Philistines. In the next chapter, chapter 14, look at verse 1. This is one of the more famous accounts of Jonathan. And we won't read the whole thing. We'll get to that later. But Jonathan takes his armor bearer, and he decides to go out against the Philistines as the Philistines have come in great numbers, and they're raiding Israel. And Jonathan goes out, and pick up in verse number 6 of chapter 14. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised, that maybe the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." And as we drop down to verse number 11, the two of them actually went to the garrison of the Philistines. And both of them discovered themselves into the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes they have hid themselves." And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, half an acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Picture this, two guys climbing with armor, hand over hand, climbing up a cliff to get to 20 to 2 odds or more. And they fought, the two of them fought and killed 20 men. And they started a rout of the whole Philistine army. There was success. Who else would have thought Jonathan could have done this? But he did it. He had success. After that, the Philistines fled. Saul chased after him. But it all started because of Jonathan. It all started because he said, "Let's go do this." And he had success. But he didn't fall into pride because of that success. We never read of Jonathan promoting his accomplishments. We never read about Jonathan beating his chest saying, "I did this." In fact, if you drop down to verses 43 of chapter 14, Saul had made a foolish decision, said, "Hey, nobody should eat or drink." Jonathan didn't even hear it. Jonathan had eaten some honey. And as it comes down to it, they found out about it, and pick up in verse 43. And Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what thou hast done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, and lo, I must die." And Saul answered, "God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." Jonathan just won a great victory. Jonathan didn't hear this command. Jonathan did nothing wrong. And yet Saul said, "You're going to die because of this thing," that Jonathan didn't even know about it. And Jonathan said, "And lo, I must die." Look at the next verse. And the people said, Shall Jonathan die who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan. Jonathan didn't rescue himself. I think almost any other person, after doing this great victory, and somebody says, "You know, you're going to die because of this little thing that's not your fault," most people would have stood up and fought for themselves, but not Jonathan. Jonathan submitted himself under the king. The only reason he was alive is because the people rescued him. Jonathan was humble, and remember, one of the definitions of humility is acts of submission. He submitted himself under the king, even in the face of all this success. How often does accomplishments go to our heads? We do well at something, we do a great accomplishment, and if we're not careful, we let that affect us in a negative way. I remember in college, I played on the basketball team, and believe it or not, I think this is going to surprise some people, I was not the star three-point shooter. I know you would kind of expect that of me, but I was not the star shooter. But during one game, I happened to be bringing the ball down, and the play called for me to fake the pass to the person off to the right and then to drive to the left. So I drove to the left, and for a split second, I was on the three-point line, and nobody was in front of me. So I normally wouldn't do this, but there was nobody in front of me, so I pulled up, and I hit a beautiful three-point shot. It was beautiful. And you know, if you play games like that, lots of times they call it, you know, Mr. Bad, the hot hand. Somebody's got the hot hand, they say, feed the hot hand. Well, I felt like I had the hot hand. I just drilled a beautiful three-point shot. And coach didn't say anything about it. It was great. So a couple plays later, somebody else brought the ball down. I got the ball on the wing. And then, again, for a split second, nobody was in front of me. So I pulled up and I shot again. I missed the hoop by 5 feet. It was not even close. It was so far off. I just shook my head. So, of course, we turn around, we run back to get on defense, and all I can hear is coach yelling, Jared, no more three-pointers. No more So the rest of the game, I couldn't shoot a three-pointer because coach told me I wasn't allowed to. Now, why in the world did I take the second one? I never shoot threes, but I took the second one confident because I just had some success. And in my mind, hey, I've got the hot hand, I can make this, because I had a little bit of success, and it went to my head. We have to be careful. Praise the Lord when there's success. Praise the Lord when God does something from us. But humility keeps us from acting rashly and because of success. Humility controls us even in the face of success. Point number two, the second thing that Jonathan stands out to us about, Jonathan showed humility in the face of personal attack. In the face of personal attack, you know, one of the hardest times it is to show humility is when you're attacked and when you're being done wrong to. We just read it there in the passage. Look there again at 1 Samuel 14:43. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey at the end of my rod that was in my hand. And lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die. Jonathan didn't hear the command. The reason Jonathan didn't hear the foolish command that Saul never should have given is because Jonathan was off fighting where Saul should have been. Saul had no right to attack Jonathan this way, but he did. Jonathan was attacked personally in a way he shouldn't have been, and yet he showed humility. Turn over a couple chapters to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Now, in this passage, David is now on the scene. David is gaining some popularity, and Saul is jealous. Saul is angry at David. And look at verse 27 of 1 Samuel 20. There's a feast. David is there in the David is there in the temple or in the palace. And look at verse 28. And the Bible says, and Jonathan said, answered Saul. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 27. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, and he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not to the king's table. And Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, his own son, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Again, Saul, the king, but also Jonathan's own father, attacks Jonathan. Verbally, he accuses him, he calls him, he attacks his character, and then he physically goes over and physically tries to attack and kill Jonathan, and Jonathan did no wrong. All Jonathan did was help a righteous man, a godly David, escape. And he was attacked for it. I can't help but think myself, that's where my loyalty might have ended towards Saul. That's where I might have, you know what, David's got a band of men, I'm going to go with David. But we read about Jonathan staying humble. Jonathan staying loyal. He still served with Saul. He still fought in the army. He still served Israel. We never see him lifting himself up. We never see him condemning his father and the king. Humility doesn't demand that we get even or get revenge. Humility is the ability to take an offense and not demand retaliation. Humility is the ability to take a personal attack and not let it change our loyalties and our purpose. I think too many Christians are at odds with each other because of a personal offense, because of a personal attack, because somebody did something, whether intentionally or accidentally, but it caused an offense, it caused a hurt, it was a personal attack, and people can't get over it because it's a hurt. I'm not trying to defend the fact that personal attacks happen, but humility allows you to suffer a personal offense. Humility allows you to take an attack and it not change you. When you're humble, when something comes against you, you can take that. It may hurt. It may cause an offense. But humility says, you know what? Bless the Lord. I'm still going to serve the Lord. I'm still going to love the brethren. I'm not going to look at them as an enemy, because humility places myself lower. And I'm not going to let that cause an offense, cause a division between us. How's your spirit towards the brethren? Is there an offense? Is there a hurt? Is there something in your mind or in your heart towards somebody else? Maybe it's time to ask the Lord for humility. Go to the person in humility, even if you feel that they were the wrong and that you're in the right. Ask the Lord for humility. Go to them and make that wrong right. Live in humility. Humility in the face of personal attack. One of the blessings of humility is it doesn't falter in the face of a personal attack or offense. Number three, how else did Jonathan show humility? Humility in the face of rejection. Of rejection. It's hard to be humble when you feel like you're being rejected from something that you think you deserve. As we already know, we already looked at and talked a little bit about Jonathan as a successful warrior. I think it's fair to say he's a war hero. Defeating the Philistine garrison, climbing a cliff with one other person with you, a young man who's an armor bearer, literally climbing up a cliff just to get to the top and fight 10-1 odds. He was a war hero. You know, I can't help but think that David, taking care of the sheep in the wilderness, heard stories about Jonathan. Because David didn't fight Goliath for several years after this. So David, the shepherd boy, I'm sure heard these stories about the warrior prince, this Jonathan. Jonathan was a war hero. But we never really see him getting much praise and recognition for it. Other than the verse where the Israelites come together and save him out of the hand of Saul and say, Jonathan wrought salvation today. Never else do we read about people praising Jonathan during his lifetime. As long as Jonathan's alive, we never see him getting the recognition we might say he deserved. Not only did Jonathan not get recognized for his victories, but somebody else actually got the credit for a lot of his victories. Look back at chapter 13. Chapter 13, this is the first time we read about Jonathan. 1 Samuel 13, verse 3. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistine that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And in 1 Samuel 13, 4. And all Israel heard say that Jonathan had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. No, the Bible doesn't say that. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. And that Israel was also had an abomination with the Philistines. It wasn't Jonathan that got recognition. It was Saul. Everybody saw, thought, oh, Saul won this victory. We read of Jonathan smiting this, but he never gets the credit. And he looks like, from what we can read, Jonathan's perfectly fine with that. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. This is right after David had killed Goliath. And David, Saul's now put David as a commander. David's gone out and fought the Philistines and been victorious in several battles. And in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? In this passage, we see Saul's angry because they only gave me thousands. They only said I've killed thousands. And David, they're singing about him slaying 10,000s. And Saul is angry. But you never read about Jonathan. Jonathan didn't say anything. From what we can read, Jonathan didn't care, even though they never mentioned him at all. They didn't ascribe Jonathan hundreds. They didn't even ascribe Jonathan tens. Jonathan did great feats, and he was never mentioned. And while Saul gets angry because they only said, I killed thousands, Jonathan never gets angry, even though he's never mentioned at all. Why is that? Because he was a humble man. Jonathan didn't care if he didn't get the recognition. Jonathan didn't care if he faced some rejection because he was a humble man. Jonathan was more concerned with his king getting the credit, with his God getting the glory, with his country being successful than with his name being lifted up. He was a humble man. How do we feel when we're overlooked? You do something at church, maybe you put in some time and effort, and then maybe the next Sunday, pastor or somebody gets up and mentions, thanks a whole other group of people that was here serving, and maybe they forget to mention your name, and you feel rejected, that how come all these other people got mentioned and I got left out? Or maybe it's at work. You do something at work, and maybe the credit goes to the wrong person, or somebody overlooks. We just naturally want to be recognized for things that we do. We just naturally, it's natural that when we do something, we want to get the credit for what we feel we deserve. But humility allows us to serve, allows us to not have an offense. Humility allows us to rejoice with others, even when we are overlooked. Andrew Murray once said, "The humble man feels no jealousy or envy. He can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before him. He can bear to hear others' praise while he is forgotten because he has received the Spirit of Jesus, who pleased not himself and who sought not his own honor. Therefore, in putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, he has put on the heart of compassion, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, and humility." Can you rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in what God has done even if you don't get the recognition for what you've done? How's your humility? Maybe the Lord is revealing an area that we need to ask the Lord to build us in humility. The last area I want to look at that Jonathan was an example in, the humility in the face of replacement. The humility in the face of replacement. You know, young Jonathan had it all. He was a prince. He was next in line to be king. You know, his father had grown up without any of this, but Jonathan grew up as the prince. He had tasted leadership and success as a young man. He was primed. He was groomed to be a great king of Israel. He had the respect of the people. The people looked at him and said, hey, you know, we respect Jonathan. They said, hey, we need to save Jonathan out of the hand of Saul. They respected him. He had the legitimate right to rule. And yet he was about to lose it all to a shepherd boy. Now, we kind of look at this knowing the end of the story that, well, that shepherd boy was David. But Jonathan didn't know that. Jonathan just knew, hey, the shepherd boy came up, and he's going to take everything from me. And he was okay with that because he knew that's what God wanted. Jonathan recognized it was God's will, and he did everything he could to help his own replacement. Not only did Jonathan except the fact that David was going to become king, he became his ally and helped him. Have you ever been promised something or expected something to happen only for it to be yanked away at the last second? Maybe somebody said, hey, yeah, this is going to happen, and right when you get there last minute, it doesn't happen. Humility lets you be happy for somebody else that gets something that you think you should have had. It's amazing when you read that Jonathan became one of the greatest helps to David. 1 Samuel chapter 19. "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field, and where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, and I will tell thee. Jonathan helped David physically here. David could have been killed, and Jonathan stepped in and said, I'm going to help David. Jonathan could have just stepped back. You see, David was a threat to Jonathan. David was going to take some things from Jonathan. Jonathan could have just stepped back and, you know what? I'm not going to kill David, but whatever happens, happens. And if David died, look at all that Jonathan had to gain if David would have died. Jonathan didn't have to do anything, but Jonathan stepped in and said, I'm going to help this person, even though if by helping them, it's going to cost me something. We see Jonathan helping David physically, but he also helped him spiritually. In chapter 23, verse 15, the Bible says, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Not only did Jonathan help David physically, he helped him spiritually. He encouraged him in a time of need. He strengthened him in the Lord. All this was helping somebody who was going to take what Jonathan was rightfully in line to inherit. Jonathan didn't care. Jonathan saw what God wanted. Jonathan saw what David's need, and he was more concerned in helping David, helping his friend, helping accomplish what the Lord wanted. He was more concerned with that than with what he could receive. Jonathan showed humility by helping his own replacement. How's your humility when somebody else is on the rise? When somebody else is getting recognition, when somebody else is getting success, when somebody else maybe seems to be surpassing you and going on and you're still stuck back here? How's your humility? How's your attitude towards them? Humility says, hey, I want them to succeed. Hey, I want my friends, my companions, I want those around me to do well, even if I don't. Hey, I want them to do well so much that I'm going to help them. That is humility. Humility, a modest estimation of one's own worth, an act of submission. Jonathan is the prime example of biblical humility. You know, examples are given for us to learn from. Some of them are examples, hey, this is a bad example. This is why you don't do this. But other ones are examples. Hey, these are the people you should follow. These are the people you should emulate and build your life around. And when it comes to humility, when it comes to a modest estimation of one's own worth, when it comes to how should we live and how should we deal with pride in our life, Jonathan is an example to follow. He is a prime example of how to live a humble life. How do we match up compared to the example of Jonathan? How can we grow in this area of humility? Maybe the request for us today, maybe the question today for us from this lesson is, God, help me to have less of me and more of you. Help me to be filled with humility. Help me to live more like Jonathan.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.